I gotta get my notes. My daughter is keeping them for me. So this morning we're going to be in the book of Luke. As you can clearly see, we have been through most of the telling of the Christmas story. And as we prepare for the morning, let's go ahead and finish that. If I can get to Luke. It's in the New Testament. Thank you, Brother Gail. You know, I only know how to preach out of the Old Testament. For the last 3 weeks, I don't know how to get to the New Testament. So, if you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word as we are in Luke chapter 2. And we are going to finish up the story in the reading. I can get to the right verse. Starting in verse 17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. You may be seated. You know, I love a good celebration. You ever had a moment in life where you just needed to celebrate? What does a celebration look like in your household? You know, I'm a pretty even-keeled guy, even-tempered. I'm reminded of a person that I know once that said, "This is me and with my happy face. This is me with my sad face. This is me with my regular face." What does a celebration look like in your home? Are the kids doing cartwheels? Are you doing cartwheels? Somebody said no. A celebration is something that is fantastic to behold most of the time. There was a story told of a woman that was having a celebration of the birth of her newborn baby. So she got all of the stuff ready, got all of the party favors out, got all of the snacks ready. And what she did was people started showing up. They started having a good time. They started talking. They started eating. They started fellowshipping. Celebration. And eventually somebody at the party said, "Well, it's about time. Let's see the baby." And so the mom said, "Well, all right, I'll go back and get her." Went back to the room, looked in the crib. The baby was nowhere to be found. And now everybody's aghast. "Where's the baby?" And she began to frantically look. And what she had forgotten in all of her preparation for the party was that she had dropped her baby off at her mother's house. Now, I know what you're thinking. What mom would do that? Would even forget that they dropped their baby off at their mother's house? You know, I think it's critical at this time of the year that we don't forget what we're doing. We don't forget what we're celebrating. Because we do a lot of eating. We do a lot of getting stuff ready. We do a lot of fellowshipping. We do a lot of opening gifts, all the while the baby is at our mother's house. The whole point of the celebration is missing from the celebration itself. So I'm so glad that you're here this morning. I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 2, because there's a group of people that got the responsibility and the honor of talking about this celebration that was going on. I want you to go back to verse 8. In the same region, There were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds. Not a great occupation of the day. Good enough, though. And so it begs the question, why shepherds? Why? Why not any other person in Bethlehem? For the last 3 weeks, we've talked about that town and the theological hub that it was, spitting out people that got their theology straight, that had their doctrine right, that knew about God and could talk about God and remember God whenever things got difficult. That was Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was to be born. Why didn't they just announce it to one of those guys? Maybe they would have gotten it right. Maybe not. He chose shepherds in the same region, the same area of Bethlehem. Shepherds. Now let's go back to Micah. Remember Micah? We started our Old Testament Christmas series with the book of Micah, chapter 5. And we talked about this out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. That prophecy is where we started. And Micah, from you, Bethlehem. Now, in the same region, in the same area of Bethlehem, go back to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4 in its summary, if you were to just take a snapshot of Micah chapter 4, you're going to see a glorification of the holy city, that holy city being Jerusalem. And in particular, the temple hill itself. Now, in the last part of the chapter, you're going to see a promise to the remnant. We talked about this just a little bit. I will assemble the lame, gather the outcasts, even those who I have afflicted, and I will make the lame a remnant. A group of people that still get it right. A group of people that still stay devoted to their God. They'll be made into a remnant. And then verse 8 of chapter 4 in Micah. Micah 4:8. As for you, because we're talking about all these people, the lame, the sick, the people that he's afflicted, they're going to become a remnant and the outcast a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion. And then verse 8, as for you, tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Now, the tower of the flock, it's a phrase in Scripture that you just would just read right over and go, it probably has something to do with sheep and a tower. And you would be right. You don't have. Sometimes you don't have to be a great theologian to get it right. It's about a tower and some sheep. But what is the significance of that? What is the significance of that and the idea of the shepherds, of these shepherds getting to be the recipients of the greatest message, the greatest delivery that was ever done? The greatest birth that was ever had, the shepherds. Because in this word, to you, tower of the flock, it is a phrase called Migdal Eder. Now, this is not something that you're going to put under your tree and open for the kids, okay? I promise, you're just not going to do that because they're going to look at it and go, Migdal Eder, what is that? Thanks. Thanks, Dad. You can do it if you want to go home. Just put Migdal Eder. It is the literal definition of tower and flock. The tower of the flock. Those two words, Migdal Eder. Now, what is significant about that? And I am still doing my homework on this. I promise I am still working at this because there are so much about this as you begin to unwrap this phrase. But what what I have learned, what I can tell you about this phrase. To you, Tower of the Flock, it will come. In the Tower of the Flock, they were supposed to be within earshot of the temple. Because at this place, Migdal Eder, at the Tower of the Flock, there were special sheep. There were special preparations made, and all of these sheep were raised for the purpose of sacrifice. They were all there for that reason. There were special shepherds that would pick them out and take them to the temple for a temple sacrifice. Now, why in the world would I share that with you? Because if you notice, in the same region, there were shepherds. Whether they were shepherds of this tower, whether they were shepherds that had any idea what this was, they would have known about the Tower of the Flock. Some people speculate that they were shepherds from there that would have been getting these lambs ready for sacrifice. Some people speculate that they were not. Either way, in a place like Bethlehem, in a town that small, you would have known about some Tower of the Flock where they got sheep ready for sacrifice. Either way. So what do we do with that information? Don't you realize, as I began to really look at this week, that shepherds would have been the most likely people to receive the message of the birth of Christ. Why? Just like we read before, His birth was for our new birth, and His death was for our rebirth. He was the ultimate sacrifice that was given to this earth, given to us. And there was a reason that He used the shepherds to communicate it. Now, what did the shepherds do with this information? Go back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And then they said, we've already read through. Let's go to verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I want to talk about this word, this phrase, "let us go straight." To you and I, that would be a straight line from one side to the next, from one place in a town to the next. That might have been the case. There was a dual message to this word, though, to this phrase, "let us go straight." The first one was to pass through. Let us go and pass through Bethlehem and see. The second was to spread. To spread. Now we read at the end, verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. But verse 15, when they got on their way, when they heard about this wonderful news, when they knew that this baby had been born, when they knew that this baby had been born for a sacrifice, they said, "Let us go and go straight to it. Let us spread the word as we go on our way." You know, we like to, I counted, we have a nativity scene set up when you walk into our house that's on a glass table. If you count the angel that is there, there are 8 people at the nativity scene. That's it, 8. We don't know how many shepherds there were, but we do know one thing. Is when they said, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem," they were going to pass through Bethlehem, and they were going and they were spreading what they had been told. And don't you think in a town like Bethlehem, the theological hub of Bethlehem, where people knew about their God and they had been hearing about this prophecy, that when the shepherds came on their way through Bethlehem and they were telling the story of a baby that had been born and the reason that the baby had been born, don't you think that people would have said, "I'm going with you. I want to know where he is"? So besides the fact that the wise men in your nativity scene should be down at the end of the street, there's probably more than 8 people there. This is a big deal. And church, today, it is a big deal to us. Let us go straight to Bethlehem. Let us pass through and let us spread the good news that we have been told. Now you think about it to this point. Up until this point in the story, angels have been the messengers of the story. But as soon as they give that message to the shepherds, you don't hear any more from the angels. Why? Because the divine message from the angels to the people, to the shepherds, has now become our message. It's pretty simple. Tell about the birth of Jesus. Why? Not because it's just some other birth, just another birth that we can add to the list of people that have been born into this world. This was the birth of our Savior. And because of that, it is worth sharing over and over and over and over. We don't get any more help from the angels in sharing that message. They shared it to the shepherds. The shepherds started sharing it on their way. They started sharing it when they left after they had seen. And we are still sharing it today. What a legacy to be a part of. I'm sharing the same message that the shepherds shared. Will you join me in sharing the message of Jesus? Not just that he was born. That doesn't separate him from squat. Is that fair? Okay. His birth means nothing without his death, without his resurrection, without the life that he lived, without the purpose that he came to this earth for. Tell the story. It has been given to us like it was given to the shepherds to be shared as we pass through. Not just as we pass through Jacksboro, as we pass through on our way to visit our families, as we pass through on the way getting gas, as we pass through in the grocery store, as we pass through life. It is a message worth sharing. You don't have to know all the answers. You don't have to even tell them about Migdal Eater. I'll be okay with that. What you do need to tell them is that somebody came to this earth who lived a sinless, spotless life and died as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins so that we could have life in heaven one day with God. Plain and simple. It's 20 seconds. Share it. Just like the shepherds did. So this morning, that's it. I'm going to give you a gift of time back. That's it. That's all we're doing this morning. Share the story. Students in this room, you got a person in your hallways that you need to share this story with. Adults in this room, you have a person in your circle of influence that you need to share this story with. I have a person that I need to share this story with. Let's get to work. Because the angels didn't come and bring a divine message so that we could sit on our hands and keep our mouths shut. It would have done no good for the shepherds to go back to their sheep and tell the sheep about it. They found some more people to share the story with. So let's get sharing, church. This year, as we love God and love people and advance the kingdom, it starts with that story. And I'm looking forward to a new year. I'm looking forward to what is coming for Live Oak Baptist Church. So let's be excited, but first let's be excited about the story of the birth of Jesus. Merry Christmas to you all. I'm so excited to be part of your church family and be living life with you. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. You can go out and start sharing the story. And if you've never heard the story, you want to come talk to me about what it is and what God did and what you do, You come and grab me before you leave this place. So Merry Christmas, Live Oak. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you, God, for the message that you have sent through the birth, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Father, it's just that simple. Father, would we have an opportunity this week to not make the celebration about the food, the fellowship, the gifts, but God, that we would have an opportunity to make a celebration about your birth. And then we can talk about your death. Then we can talk about your resurrection that makes it all possible that we might have life with you one day in eternity. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for how you have hardwired each one of us. Thank you for the circle of influence that you've given each one of us. God, as we bring people to a saving knowledge of who you are, would you bless those conversations? Would your Holy Spirit go before us in those conversations and soften people so they might receive the words that come out of our mouth about your Son well? Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus. Thank you for this day. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.